From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The 4th of July is, of course, this Sunday, and many Americans are eager to celebrate after more than a year of social distancing. But as KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports, Juneau's city officials still want people to be mindful when attending crowded events and setting off fireworks.
Earlier this year, the city's assembly passed new measures for how fireworks can be used on holidays like Independence Day and New Year's Eve. This weekend, people can set them off starting Saturday at 10 a.m. until 1 a.m., and then again on Sunday from 10 a.m. to midnight. In addition to the limited hours, there are restrictions based on the types of fireworks you're using. Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove says, as a rule of thumb, if the fireworks you have are really loud, you'll want to set them off far away from any neighborhood.
Basically, if you have a tube and it's over 3/4 of an inch, that's going to be a concussive firework. You can use those, but you need to be outside the roaded service area and outside the fire service area.
The roaded service area extends a half mile beyond any existing road, and the fire service area extends from the end of Thane to Cohen Drive. If you're heading out to North Douglas, the end of the fire service area is at the boat launch or beyond the houses up Fish Creek Road. And if you're on the other end of Douglas Island, Cosgrove says you need to go to the end of Sandy Beach.
And, of course, the fire service area is all of Lemon Creek, all of Mendenhall Valley, and all of the downtown areas. Things like cone fountains and wheels and torches and sparklers, those things are allowed year-round. Holiday fireworks like Roman candles, black cats, bottle rackets, etc. can be used on private property during those hours that I talked about.
It's also one of the busiest weekends of the year for Juneau police officers, who will be citing people for violating the fireworks guidelines. The fine is $250 for a first offense and $500 with a mandatory court appearance for doing it again. Those who have concerns about fireworks over the weekend can call 586-0600 for non-emergencies. City officials are also asking people to remain careful when it comes to the spread of COVID-19. They say people who haven't been fully vaccinated should still wear a mask while in crowded areas.
I hope people have fun. It's been a long year, so go out, have fun, be mindful of your neighbors. Just be respectful of everybody's needs while you're out there.
There will be a large citywide fireworks display on July 3rd at 11:59 p.m. For more information on 4th of July events and fireworks regulations in the city, visit ktoo.org. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
In other news, legislators voted earlier this week to avoid a partial government shutdown, but they couldn't agree on how to fund college scholarships to support more than 5,400 Alaskan students. So those funds are not currently in the state budget. But the University of Alaska announced today that it will honor these scholarships for current and incoming students. In a statement, Interim President Pat Pitney said she was confident the legislature would resolve the funding of these scholarships during the special session in August. The Alaska Performance Scholarship and the Alaska Education Grant programs provide students across the state with vital funds for their studies. Most of them are students at the University of Alaska. Lori Klein is the vice chancellor at the University of Alaska Southeast. The university had about 150 students receiving scholarships last year. She says the university sent out a message to students, letting them know that it's carefully monitoring the situation.
While waiting, of course, is very difficult and challenging, we want students to stick with their plans for the fall and to come to UAS and to stay in state and to plan on having those funds.
She also says the program funds directly impact the state's future.
These funds impact our future state leaders. They impact our future state residents, our business owners, our professionals. You know, many of our students will stay in state after they get their degrees, and they will contribute back into their home communities.
When the legislature reconvenes in August, Klein says she hopes legislators can bring certainty to students for the upcoming school year. In other news, a deadly fungus could threaten several amphibian species in the Tongass National Forest. On Mitkoff Island, the U.S. Forest Service is using a mix of old and new methods to find it. Katie Anastas tagged along to visit one testing site and has this report.
About 3 miles inland, the Twin Creek Ski Shelter overlooks a pond in the middle of the Muskeg. Just a few weeks ago, this part of the island was still covered in snow. Today, members of the U.S. Forest Service are here to look for frogs. They scoop up buckets of water from different parts of the pond. Then Marcy Mainhart pours the water into a pump that carries it through a filter.
Then we'll take a sanitary tweezer and collect the filter from inside here, put it into a sanitary bag, label it with where we are and how much water was sent through it, and then we'll send that back to the lab.
The filters look like round cotton pads. They're sending about 3 dozen of them to a lab for DNA testing. The results will tell them 2 things. First, whether there are amphibians at the sites. And second, whether pathogens like chytrid fungus are there too. Chytrid is a skin fungus. Frogs and salamanders absorb oxygen through their skin, and the fungus hampers their ability to do that. That reduces their energy level and often kills them.
It stops them from being able to reproduce, or if they do, or if they are able to reproduce, then usually that young won't be able to reproduce.
1 out of every 16 amphibian species has gone extinct or become endangered because of chytrid fungus, according to a 2019 study. Last year, the Tongass Wildlife and Fisheries Program detected chytrid in Wrangell, Prince of Wales Island, and Yakutat. Eric Castro is the fish biologist at the Petersburg Ranger District, leading the effort to test for chytrid on Mitkoff Island. Castro says the agency has very little baseline information about the size and location of existing amphibian populations.
If we don't know how many exist, all we have is anecdotal evidence. You know, folks say they used to see more frogs in this area, you know, back when they were young, but there's no data.
To collect that data, Castro and his team have visited 12 different sites, 2 times each. While Castro and Mainhart collect and filter water, Sam Winesma is using a different tool, his eyes. At each site, a member of the team always looks around the old-fashioned way.
It's essentially what you do when you're 12. Look at the edge of ponds and streams and flip over logs looking for frogs and toads. I do that for 50 meters along the edge of this pond.
Castro thinks he saw salamander eggs on an earlier site visit. Thanks to the DNA tests, he'll soon know for sure.
These are elusive creatures, and pathogens being microscopic, even more so. But, you know, with the environmental DNA, that really enables us to be able to see what we can't actually.
The Petersburg Ranger District will have to wait 1 to 3 months to get the test results back. But they're already thinking about ways the public can help stop the spread of the fungus. One idea is setting up boot washing stations at sites where chytrid is detected. Castro, Mainhart, and Winesma clean their boots with a solution of bleach and water after visiting each site to avoid contaminating other parts of the forest. Castro hopes the project brings more attention to a group of animals that often goes unseen.
Regardless of them not being the charismatic species that we see, you know, that climb trees and howl at the moon, they're part of the natural environment.
A part of the environment that hopefully is here to stay. In Petersburg, I'm Katie Anastas.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy today vetoed around 12% of the ferry operating budget. That leaves the Alaska Marine Highway System with nearly $8.5 million less to run its vessels over the next 18 months. Dunleavy told reporters that the vetoes were in response to extra funding added by lawmakers.
The money that we discussed, the money that we agreed upon to put in the budget is in the budget. There was just more money put on top. That was the money that we took off and put aside.
The governor and lawmakers have agreed to forward fund the ferry system for a year and a half to give the Department of Transportation more leeway for planning and operations. The governor has yet to sign a separate bill to create an oversight board for the ferry system. Both chambers passed the bill unanimously. Lawmakers will be returning to Juneau in August to take up the unfinished business on the budget. It required a three-quarters vote by the legislature to override a veto. It's the third time in as many years that Governor Dunleavy has used his veto pen to cut ferry funding. Last year, he erased more than $15 million from the Marine Highways budget, which has struggled with long service gaps and breakdowns of the aging fleet. And Wrangell should see the return of its State Department of Fish and Game office this year. And for the first time in more than a decade, a state social worker overseeing child welfare. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.